Bobrovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you would like to be on the program. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com. We are coming to you loud and clear, deep behind the orange curtain from an undisclosed location here at the Sweet James Studios. And that giant crashing noise that we heard last night, roughly around the time that this program was concluding yesterday evening, was the Republican effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. It went down something similar to when the Hindenburg ignited, balls of flame. I don't want to overstate this. It was just the Republicans failed. It's not all the Republicans. This comes down to a handful of kooks, okay? Rhinos that don't want to see the vast entitlement structure of Obamacare disappear. But I think they're on today, the regroup here. And I think this is very telling. The regroup is that Mark Meadows, who's the head of the Freedom Caucus, has said, look, I'm gonna put forward a bill. It's a clean replace bill. It's the same thing that we did in 2015, where we put a clean repeal bill on the president's desk. They did it in 2015, and it was really symbolic, right? Because they put it on Obama's desk. And Obama wasn't going to sign a repeal of his signature legislation, was he? So at the time, it was entirely symbolic. The president vetoed it, and that was that. The amount of times, it's interesting, the amount of times that the House was able, for example, to get a repeal of Obamacare through. I mean, they voted on it countless times. And yes, it was symbolic, but they were able to do it. Now, I'll explain a little bit of that too to you, because you're hearing that today. You're hearing, well, the Republicans did it, so they did it over and over again. And the Senate even put it on the president's desk in 2015. But they knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. And the Republicans, including these lousy, worthless rhinos, Republicans in name only, if you're not familiar with the acronym, they're doing it to fundraise. They are pandering cheaply. I don't think it's even cheap pandering. I think it's dishonest advertising to the base of the Republican Party that expects, by sending their congresspersons back to the halls of the state capitol every election, what do they expect? They expect that these guys and gals are going to get rid of Obamacare. It was the number one issue that Republican voters cared about leading up to the election. Every election, ever since this crappy piece of legislation passed. So there you have it. So the Republicans were very comfortable. Repealing Obamacare over and over and over again, symbolically, right? When as long as Obama was in office, they knew they didn't have enough votes to break a veto. So symbolically, they're perfectly happy to tell their voters, look, we're working on it. And now they've got a president sitting in the Oval Office, pen in hand, ready to do it. In fact, Trump said as much this morning. Got that clip? This is exactly, and Trump knows this is a very deliberate point that he's making here. Here's Trump this morning.
I am disappointed because for so many years I've been hearing repeal and replace. I'm sitting in the Oval Office right next door, pen in hand, waiting to sign something, and I'll be waiting, and eventually we're going to get something done, and it's going to be very good. But Obamacare is a big failure. And it has to be changed. We have to go to a plan that works. We have to go to a much less expensive plan in terms of premiums. And something will happen, and it'll be very good. May not be as quick as we had hoped, but it's going to happen.
I think politically, Trump's playing this extremely wisely. Because he's not really been picky about what bill he's going to sign. Now, if you're like me and you really want to see this lousy piece of legislation out the door, I want to see a repeal. I don't want to see a replace. I don't want to see Republicans come up with their own version of welfare for insurance companies. I don't like that idea. A clean repeal bill, goes back to letting the free market to a large extent disfigure this thing out, which I think is a good thing. But hear me out. I don't think that the president's strategy here is unwise. Politically, it's a good move to signal to Congress and to the American public at large that, look, I'm willing to work with these guys. I mean, give me something I can sign. Because really, at the end of the day, who's going to come out of this looking like the incompetent nincompoop? It's going to be Congress, not the president. So Trump knows he can't sit here and say, well, you know, really the bill I want is I want this in it and this in it and that in it. He doesn't have that luxury. And doesn't have a line item veto, can't pick and choose what he wants in the bill. He either he can sign it or not. And the signal he's sending is, I'm going to sign it. I'll do it and whatever. And I know I hear a lot of criticism of that. So, well, the president ought to have leadership. He ought to be. I know. I get it. I hear you. And in a perfect world, you'd have this majority of Republicans in Congress be able to put together a conservative answer that returns healthcare back to the free market, that dismantles border protection, state border protection to these ridiculous healthcare plans, that segregates these markets, that creates, that eliminates competition among insurances. And that's just the start. But I think that the president can't be picking and choosing on this. Now, Gingrich yesterday, and Newt Gingrich, now, I know he's not always my favorite guy either, but he understands what it's like to whip up a motley crew of Republicans and to get stuff done. Because the real story here right now is the Republicans have, and they may not like him, but they have a guy in the White House that has a bracketed R behind his name. They have a president of the same party sitting in the Oval Office holding that pen that we just talked about. And the Republicans in Congress are not taking advantage of it. And the most critical thing here is that it's not really about health care. It's about getting health care done so they can move on to gasp, hear me out here, even more important stuff. Like what, Sam? What do you think? Like the economy. If the Republicans do not move on tax cuts, among other things, they are hosed. And I've said this before. And that's what Gingrich here talking last night on Sean Hannity, Fox News. He's talking about what the Republicans, how the Republicans are basically stepping on their toes right now, stepping all over themselves and creating a problem. Have a listen to this.
Do we represent prosperity, economic growth, higher take-home pay, more jobs, or not? Trump, you just had him, the president, a minute ago, talking about what he wants to do to make America great again. I think that he's in the right general direction. I personally believe they ought to do as much as they can on health care right now, but they shouldn't spend the whole rest of this year on one issue. They have also got to pass, I think, by Thanksgiving, a very large tax cut to make sure that we have enough economic growth in 2018 that Republicans can run as the party of prosperity, of jobs, of higher take-home pay, and of economic growth. If we don't have economic growth next year, I think we're in real danger of having Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2019. If we do get enough economic growth, I think, frankly, we'll probably get reelected.
He's not even letting Sean talk. He had that thing ready to go. It was a mouthful. Newt didn't even breathe. I'm only saying that to you because it's, you know, he just unloaded out of both barrels and he's absolutely right. The economic boom that we have experienced in these last few months is the result only of the hope. No, the belief, the educated belief of the marketplace that some of what Trump is promising will actually happen. They believe, the marketplace believes, right? The people making those big moves behind the scenes believe that Trump will deliver on, among other things, big tax cuts. And that is a tremendous amount of, this is, you know, friends on the left don't get it, but this is a huge issue. Every amount of tax money you take out of each dollar is money directly removed out of the economy. And by letting the Bush tax cuts expire, Obama put a giant, enormous brake on an economy that wasn't doing so hot to begin with. And when Trump signaled that this is something that he wants to get done, that he wants to eliminate, for example, huge amounts of regulation, some of which he will need Congress's help in doing. This is all fine and dandy. The markets are reacting nicely to it. But now the markets are spooked. They are seeing that, hell, the Republicans can't even repeal frickin' Obamacare, which is something they've been talking about for God knows better part of 8 years. So what the heck is going on? Well, you see the indicators. I mean, you see, you know, the dollar just fell quite a bit. So it's one of the things that you know, the marketplace is spooked. They're looking at this failure, and it's not a good thing. So where is it going? Well, you saw Mitch McConnell right now moving to a clean repeal bill. I don't know if they've got the votes. There are, by all counts, about 3 to 4 obstructionist Republicans that are leftists. Yeah, Susan Collins in Maine, among others. I mean, they're just leftists. They might as well be Democrats. And then you've got the Democrats wholeheartedly, fully, you know, obstructing this thing. The risk is that the Republicans are not going to gain seats if they continue these type of shenanigans. It's not going to happen. You know, the thing that frustrates me, I think, the most about healthcare is it's such a simple and straightforward issue. If the government spent this much time regulating the cost of bananas and the marketplace of bananas, we would have bananas that cost $250 per banana. You wouldn't be able to afford a banana. You go in a store and they'd have an empty shelf where bananas used to be. If you think I'm joking, I'm not making this up. The way the free marketplace works is it sets a price based on supply and demand. And it's self-regulating because as price creeps up, supply increases because there is an interest to make money. Somebody somewhere desires to profit. I'm reading we've got record numbers of new doctors entering the workplace. The same problem, I was just in the Czech Republic, the same problem is there and has been going on for years now. Why? It's easy. Government controls healthcare. Government sets the price of healthcare, and therefore doctors pay what the government deigns to pay them. Who wants to go to years of medical school to basically have their pay regulated by the government? I wouldn't, would you? You let the marketplace decide it. One, the cost of the good can never exceed what your average person can pay for it, because again, you cannot have an entire industry that caters just to the top 1%. And the other part of it is, as price creeps up, so too does an interest of entering into that marketplace. It is an incentive for a new hospital to be built somewhere. Hey, look, they're making money across the street. It's the only game in town. Let's do it over here. Gasp. Imagine that. That is how it works with everything, with cars, with groceries, even with gas, whatever it is. I mean, every commodity is handled this way, except for healthcare. We're out of our minds on this. All right, my law school's in the news, so some rumors. I got to tell you about that, too. But I'm going to talk more about this healthcare thing. It's just so important. Sam Rojofsky, back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, I just got an email here from Robert. He asking me what I'm talking about. I guess clarifying. I'll clarify for you, Robert. When congressional Republicans put a repeal bill on Obama's desk in 2015, knowing full well that Obama was going to kick it out the door, I wasn't going to sign it. It wasn't real. It's fictitious. It's pro forma. It's a fakey deal, and it's for donor emails. Hey, donor Bob living in small town Nebraska. I know you really care about that Obamacare issue. We're working hard over here in Washington, getting it done. So send us your $10. We need your $10. We're fighting this fight. Total lies. Because the same people now are voting against it. Well, and I'll be fair. They didn't vote on a clean repeal bill. I'm tongue-tied. Repeal and replace. Replace and repeal. They just got to get rid of it. They got to repeal it. But they were trying to replace it, and that's part of the problem. So they started drafting the bill behind closed doors, making this great thing. And it was starting to turn into a little bit of a Frankenstein. These Republicans were making a Frankenstein bill in the back room, and it had bailouts for the insurance companies, and it had gimmies, and it had money for state Medicaid, and it was Santa Claus time. And this is, I saw somewhere maybe about three weeks ago, I think it was Bob Bennett was talking on Fox and Friends, and he was saying, don't count Mitch McConnell out. I mean, the guy is a wizard. And I look at Mitch McConnell, and I'm thinking the only thing he needs to do is find a wizard to get his jaw back, because, he's just missing lower part of his jaw. Very disconcerting. But I'm listening to him, I'm like, all right, so he's a wizard. I'm going to watch this, because I have my own feelings and thoughts about Mitch McConnell. And as best as I can tell, this is what his wizardry consists of. Senator so-and-so, I need you to vote for this bill. What can I put in this bill to get you to vote for it? Well, Mitch, what I like in this bill is how about $100 million here for my district, and how about $200 million over there for that thing? And, if you just throw another maybe $2.5 billion in there, you got my vote. And so this thing started turning into this enormous, it was like this overloaded bus. It was like one of those buses and... You see, when you read National Geographic magazines, when they had in some little town in Bolivia, the buses where all the people and the chickens were on the roof. It was like the giant pork bus. This bill was a giant pork bus. And no wonder. And then you have reasonable people You've got the Freedom Caucus people looking at this going, this is a disaster. We can't vote for this. The hypocrisy here, though, from the Democrats, this is part of one of my favorite parts of this entire thing, is Chuck Schumer whining about transparency. Yeah, and by promising that they're gonna work and make things right. Have a listen. This is him today, earlier on the Senate floor, talking about the bill and what the Republicans need to do to get this done. Listen to this.
We're ready to sit down right now. If Republicans abandon cuts to Medicaid, abandon huge tax breaks for the wealthy, and agree to go through the regular order, through the committees, with hearings, onto the floor, with time for amendments. That's how we perfect legislation here. That's how it's been done for 200 years. Almost inevitably, when you try to draft something behind closed doors and not vet it with the public, it becomes a failure. In this case, a disaster.
Well, he's speaking from experience because, of course, the last time the Democrats crafted a bill behind closed doors, didn't let anybody see it, that was called Obamacare. And it has become a failure and, in fact, also a disaster. But what a douche. I mean, honestly, this guy is who is he lecturing? This is the guy who rammed Obamacare down our throats and now he's playing the sanctimonious. Well, this is how it's been done for 200 years. And who are you Republicans? Let us tell you how things are done. All right. Let's have John Wolf tell us how things are done. Up next, KBC News. Sam Rogowski back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
And here we are, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KBC 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, also the email here that I do check regularly myself. I check it personally. I multitask as I am behind the Sam Nation microphone. I also simultaneously am checking my email, sam@samnation.com. So do send me your thoughts. And I do look at those now. Where does all of this healthcare happenings, where do these latest rumblings fit into the greater picture of the Trump presidency? Because, you know, I haven't watched a lick of cable news since I got home. You know that I normally, and I'll get back into the rhythm of things. But I haven't really dived into it. So of course I'm not that depressed. I'm not as depressed as some of you that have perhaps been watching CNN and MSNBC. But I am seeing, you know, I'm seeing different things online. The Democrats are already, you know, sharpening their knives and figuring out who they're going to, run against Trump in less than 4 years. Kamala Harris, right? They're talking about her. They've got the big wigs in the Democratic Party just swooning over Ms. Harris. Now, she's our attorney general. No, she was our attorney general. Now, of course, our senator. And, well, I mean, I don't know if there's no substance. I was already trying in my head to picture a debate between her and Donald Trump. And the thought, he's not going to care. He's not going to care. She's never had a real opponent. So they're setting her up to be this. I mean, that's it. You know, she's a minority. She's a woman. She's well-spoken. She's well-liked. Well-liked where? In California? Well, you know, Trump lost California. So it's going to take a little more appeal than just California. So is Ms. Harris really going to crush the blue wall? I mean, what we got? And you don't think Trump's not going to just, you know, kid glove it because, you know, she's a minority? I don't really see that happening. So so that you've got the healthcare and people are looking at this healthcare thing as a failure. And it is, I'll tell you this. In a perfect world, Trump has his agenda moving forward. And all these scandals, you know, whatever they are, whether they're real or not, are really just distractions or just nothings. They're mile markers that you're passing, flying 250 miles an hour down the freeway because there's a blur because you're getting stuff done. But he really does need Congress to get stuff done. And he's done quite a lot without it. I mean, we've got a Supreme Court justice. He's working on the court, which I have some news on here in a minute. But, you know, but we've got, you know, we got TPP's dead. You've got 40 new bills passed into law. Catch and release on the border's ended. You know, refugee intake's down 50%. We've got the National Guard in Chicago. I mean, this is good stuff. But Trump still needs Congress. And, you know, and I'm and so where, you know, who's really, though, going to be most hurt by Congress not doing anything? Is it going to be Congress or the president? And I'm not one of the people that thinks that Congress is going to really end up getting screwed the way you heard Newt Gingrich predicting. I mean, Newt Gingrich says, you know, if Congress doesn't get their acts together, Pelosi's going to be in there. But congressional elections are rarely national elections. They almost always center around the candidate in the district. So people in a district in Orange County are voting for that candidate, and they don't really care about the big picture, generally speaking. And it would take some great organization on the part of the Democratic Party to mobilize a national race. So at the end of the day, inaction in Congress really can spill over and damage the president, in my view. More so than it can damage Congress. So this is something that has to be taken into account. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. There's some news coming up. I'll talk about it next. Don't go anywhere.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
So are you worried? You know, let's say you get hurt. And I talk about Sweet James quite a bit here on the program. As you know, let's say you get hurt. And what happens? If you get hurt, you start to worry. You know, do I go to a doctor? If I go to the doctor, who pays for it? I got these co-pays. My insurance only covers so much. What do I do? And the answer is, quite simply put, that if you've got the right lawyer working on your case, the guy that is responsible for hurting you is going to pay for all of that. They're going to have to make it right. But it's not going to happen automatically. The payday does not come without some help. And that's really important. It's a process of making sure that all that gets taken care of. And you know what? Even if you've got really good health care, if you've got one of those Cadillac plans, let's say you're a congressman. You've got one of those beautiful Rolls-Royce healthcare plans where everything's covered on a gold-plated tray. Forget that. Solid gold tray. Well, even then, you know, your plan, if they find out that you've gotten a settlement, even if it's a small settlement, they can take some of that money back. They can take all of it back. So you just need a lawyer to fight to make sure you can keep what you got. It's crazy. So call Sweet James. Make sure if you've been in an accident, you've been injured, you've been hurt, and you've got a claim. You got get somebody on your side that you trust, that we trust. And that person's Sweet James Bergner. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back and having a lot of fun getting through the news of the day, making radio great again, as always. You know, there's one more thought that I had. This segment, you guys run out of time here finishing a thought. Congress, it's really about the economy. Healthcare is such an enormous part of the economy. So the Democrats want to frame the healthcare issue as a compassion deal, right? That's what it is. It's a compassion deal. It's about not leaving those, whatever the CBO decided, 20 million, 30 million, 40 million people behind. The Republicans, the mean-spirited Republicans, they're just leaving people behind. The Democrats, in process of picking up those poor, forgotten 40, 30, 10 million, however many people they are, I think the numbers are all funny math anyway, but in picking up all those poor, unfortunate souls that have been left behind, screw the entire thing up for everybody. That's the Democrat Party way. And so, in so doing, they destroy an enormous swath of the U.S. economy. If you just do away, if Obamacare just gets repealed, a clean repeal, you go back to taking, putting this important part of the economy back in the hands of the free market. And as I said earlier, Congress is freed up not to hassle about what's in their plan, how to fix health care, what to do with health care, which I don't really think at the end of the day politicians can fix. It's really not the place of politicians to figure out what kind of health care I need in Irvine, California, and what kind of health care, you know, Bob needs in somewhere in Virginia. Nobody in Washington can figure that out. It's not something that can be fixed with central planning. Instead, what can be fixed with central planning is putting more of our money that we make back into the economy. Cutting taxes. In 92, President Bush, this is H.W. Bush, Sr., he had a 90% approval rating coming out of the Iraq War. You know that? And lost to Bill Clinton. Do you know why? Because James Carville, who was, we'll call him Bill Clinton's Steve Bannon, James Carville put up on the board in Clinton Party headquarters, "It's the economy, stupid." That was their slogan, and they drove that point home and murdered Bush with it. So I'm just going to say this. It's the economy, stupid. Trump could go around grabbing everybody by their you-know-whatsies. It ain't going to matter a hill of beans, because if the economy is good, people give him a second chance. And actually, that's how it ought to be, frankly. Okay, back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, the number one most jacked up, it's a term of art, that's a legal term of art, jacked up court of appeals in the U.S. is the Ninth Circuit. It happens to be the circuit court that covers, surprise, surprise, California. They are the most overturned circuit in the federal appeal system. They call them long time. This is not a term I came up with. They call it the Ninth Circus because it's such a joke. It is literally the laughingstock of American jurisprudence. So if you're a Trump supporter and you're going, God, what's he doing? What's he do? Really? Come on. I mean, I just feel like he's just lost in the woods, and is he really fulfilling those promises? Well, I've got a little bit of inside information here that's fun. So I have heard that he is there. The White House is very close, is considering strongly, I'll put it that way. My former law professor from Chapman University appointing him to the Court of Appeals. Now, his name is James Rogan. It's being reported on some websites. So it's an interesting thing. I think there's enough corroboration to it. I know him. I haven't asked him to corroborate it. He wouldn't do it anyway. Funny point about Judge Rogan. This guy is legit. Okay? He is exactly the type of judge that you would want to hear your case. He is unfailingly fair. He's a straight shooter, former congressman. He actually was the one who prosecuted Bill Clinton in the impeachment trial. So he's his background is he's a prosecutor before he became a congressman and became a judge after he left Congress. But Rogan is 100% the real deal. He swore me in. I think probably the stupidest thing he's ever done is, swore me in when I became a lawyer. So he has that black mark against him. But one of my favorite professors. But I tell you, these are the type of justices that Trump is considering, that he's putting on the bench. And it's not just the high profile Supreme Court nominations. You know, those don't come around very often. But all those federal judgeships, all those federal trial and appeal courts. You know, I can't tell you, Bush W. It's great. This is a great point that needs to be made. I mean, I can't tell you how many liberal justices he put on these court of appeals to appease Democrats to get them to work with him on some of his stuff. Yeah, that's a common way that Bush got things done, sort of, so to speak. You know, I mean, it was at a tremendous cost because these are the people now that are making ridiculous decisions. These are the people that are constantly shooting down Trump's travel bans, and it is just, it's nuts. You and I, we can go to the polls, we can vote for good politicians, we can get people in there that are, you know, that are going to do what they promise. And, you know, that takes a lot, you know, just to get to that point. And then one judge who is serving for life can shoot it all down. If I can identify one good thing that can come out of a Trump presidency, it's reasonable, good law and order justices on the federal courts, period. And Judge Rogan, I hope it works out. This guy is 100% the real deal. No questions about it. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night at 7. I'm looking forward. I already have some ideas. There's a lot to cover. So come back. Let's talk then.